Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into a brand new episode of the RSL Show. I am the intern, Alex Napolis. Today, just joined by Joshua Clark. No, Andy, he's over doing stuff in
Atlanta. Doing whatever Andy does.
In Atlanta. But it'll just be us today. And so, Josh, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Doing good. We've got some cool stuff planned for the RSL Show future. We've got some cool stuff planned for, I guess, individuals' future. We got cool stuff planned for Miami, and we'll all be very excited to share that with you guys here soon. Just keep reeling you guys in with these drops.
Yes, announcements to come. There's really only one like big announcement, but patience, it'll come. So, you know, it'll be fun.
There you go.
No one's leaving.
No one's leaving
yet. So, yeah. We'll leave it at that. That's your morsel today.
There you go.
I haven't had enough, and I'll stick around for a little longer.
Let's jump into it. Not a lot of news to cover.
Yeah, this should be a brief one, I think.
Yeah. We'll keep it short, quick, and simple. Just the two preseason matches for Real Salt Lake as they start their journey in the Atlantic Cup in Portugal. Started on Saturday against Brøndby. They end up falling 2-1 to Brøndby.
Yeah, and a decent competitor, I think. I think that's a good team to play in preseason,
yes.
Right? It's not Manchester United, but it's also not Phoenix Rising, right? Like,
yes.
Not even Phoenix Rising, but some of those lower teams we've played in the past.
I think the biggest thing for me is just the fact that they're going out to Europe and playing European competition. I feel like it just gets repetitive playing all these MLS teams in preseason.
Mm-hmm. You see the same things.
Yeah, exactly. Really exactly. And so I think it's a nice fresh start for Real Salt Lake to just go out, play these European teams. And then Brøndby is a good squad. They're, I think, second place in the Swedish or Danish league, whichever one. And RSL honestly didn't look too bad.
No, and they were missing some key pieces as well. So,
yeah,
you know, Julio's goal was sick, right, from deep, picking the pocket of the goalkeeper. But, you know, again, we saw defensive issues, right? We didn't see the second goal. Did you end up seeing it anywhere?
No.
Yeah, no. So we don't know what happened with the second goal, but that first goal was a lot of flashing back to 2023.
For sure.
So let's get that cleaned up. I think that needs to be the focus.
It's obviously, you know, first game since the loss to Houston, there's obviously rust there in some of those guys, but overall they didn't play too bad of a game, especially against a good opponent. Especially, right. I think in that first maybe 20 minutes, RSL didn't look too bad. Brøndby kind of grew into the game, got that lead before the half, and I think the first like 15-20 minutes of that second half, it was just all RSL controlling possession, and they didn't look too shabby for their first go about.
Yeah, no, and then again, they looked confident. You know, they moved the ball well. Again, like we were just talking about, it was just the defensive errors, right? Silly mistakes. I do wish we knew what happened in the second goal. I think it's fair to assume that it wasn't pretty. But I'm not mad at the result. I'm not mad at it, right? But it is concerning that we're seeing some of the same things.
RSL trying to build out of the back. Justin Glad just accidentally gives the ball away right at the top of the 18. Yep, Brøndby's in on goal, and they level it through that. It's
which killed our confidence, right? It was just like last year. We would be doing well, give up a silly goal, confidence killed.
It sucks that it's from Justin.
Right, the guy that needed to. take a step forward in the confidence department. So
the guy that we're relying on a lot in defense this year, the guy that we really need to basically anchor that back line. And he commits a mistake that we saw a lot towards the end of the season last year. Obviously, like I said, still first preseason match, still plenty of time to clean it up. But that does concern me that we are still susceptible to making those kinds of mistakes building out of the back.
Yep. And, you know, is that going to be a tactical adjustment? Is that a personnel adjustment? I mean, time will tell.
Yeah.
Right now we have coaches focusing on it. So we'll see another, what they can do.
Another defensive giveaway led to Arsenal's opening goal.
Yes.
Because the center back was playing it out of the back towards the middle of the field a little bit. And Julio just runs up, steals it from almost like the Sporting Kansas goal. Yep. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
A little bit like that, but he just absolutely rifles it from about half court, and it ends up in the back of the net. I love to see Anderson Julio doing that already, mm-hmm. because I think we're going to need to rely on him a lot, especially off the bench this season.
Absolutely, right? Right now it's Chicho and whoever wants it, and right now Julio's showing he wants it. He's got two goals in the preseason. He's looking fit. He's looking fast, right? Again, it's Julio. Let's hope that continues without, you know, a hamstring jumping out and attacking him. But we are seeing a lot of high press out of RSL already this preseason, and that bodes well for Anderson Julio.
For the game that we were able to see, unfortunately, we'll get to the second game too, but unfortunately we weren't able to see that one due to the streaming stuff. But from the game that we were able to see, we got a nice little sample size of Fidel Barajas, the new signing for RSL. I enjoyed it. As a 17-year-old, he looked fantastic for Real Salt Lake in that one. Him and Luna were already making some good passes, and he had a shot that I didn't think he would take, but he took it, and he got a good result out of it. Unfortunately, keeper saved it, but it was a good look for Fidel.
Yeah, he forced the save, right, which is what you want your strikers to do. Yeah, man, if we can really find a 10 for them to combine with, we could have something special going on up top. I'm excited to see them link up with Chicho too, because there were a few balls that were played in that were like what Chicho's looking for.
Exactly.
What Julio doesn't normally score. So
there was a couple passes from Fidel and maybe I think two from Luna that I was like, man, if Chicho was in there.
Yep, that's his bread and butter. Him exactly. and Demir, right? That would have been a Demir ball back in the Demir days. So yeah, just a well placed, well timed ball into the box that any kind of poaching kind of striker or, you know, header specialist is going to salivate all over.
Fidel's looking good. Luna, I thought, had a good shift. Obviously, he played with the U.S. team not too long ago, so he's a little bit more fit and ready to go for those matches. But regardless, both of them looked very good, and it just makes me excited for the young talent that this team has. We talked about it a lot last episode. And that just made me, that just kind of did it for me, you know?
Yeah. You know who else looked really good was Anelli in the midfield.
Yes.
I know we saw glimpses of it last year, but, you know, he's looking great as a rotation piece in there. And then obviously backline coverage, but I think he could be poised for a big year, you know, barring any kind of sophomore slump or injury.
An interesting decision by the lineup, Eric Holt. At that right back, quote unquote right back position.
Yeah, we're totally looking at a three in the back type lineup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of three in the back, especially with, you know, Holt being available. Vera can play on the left side of a three, you know, a three back. We have Marcelo. Like, it's doable. Holt scares me there, right? And we've seen him there during some of the preseason trainings we've been to. And then again in, you know, the preseason game. But during those preseason trainings, they were really trying to drill into Eric Holt, like, what he needs to be doing in that spot. So, yeah, be prepared to see that this year.
I like – Pablo did also mention it a little bit in the postgame presser that when they go forward, they want to have, like, a little bit of a three in the back. And then when they defend, it almost turns into a five in the back.
Yeah, because your left or right back will fall in.
Exactly.
Or your CDM, mm-hmm. or whoever's playing in the center of the midfield. Or right and left back. I mean, it's a variation, right, of how we were attacking. But
which I like. But at the same time, it also I like it, but it concerns me at the same time because I feel like center back is where we really lack depth.
Yeah, it's high risk but high reward. Yeah. It gives you more in the attack, but you know, if your center backs aren't confident, they're kind of on an island, and they have to be ready, right? With Justin, we have the speed. But with Holt on the outside, he's more of a central guy, like a bruiser. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get torched potentially on the outside. Vera can hold his own, but if it's Marcelo, right, two pretty weak spots. But they have to be mistake-free. And I think it also opens up a lot of quick counter breakaway type situations, and that's what scares me, right? That leads to easy goals or red cards, and neither of those things we like. So,
I think someone that I would like to see almost take on that role a little bit this season is maybe Emeka. Time for him in the midfield is going to be obviously, you know, not barring any injuries, not barring anything like that. Time for him in the midfield might be a little bit hard to find considering Palacio, Ruiz and Ojeda are kind of in that depth room with him. So maybe throw Emeka in that position and have him kind of go do that slide back in, go out wide type role that Holt did a little bit on Saturday, because I think he'd be very successful there.
Yeah, but he could also play like on the left side of the, because I mean really the back three, you're still going to have outside backs involved.
Yeah.
So he could also find time in the Brody, filling the Brody spot or the Oviedo spot, which I think he'd be more dangerous with. So
I think defense is still probably my biggest concern.
Oh, it's that and striker depth.
Striker depth. I think once, if Julio continues it, continues what he's doing, you know, we still haven't really seen Elijah Paul again because the second game wasn't streamed. Matthew Bell can still be signed, so we'll have options. It's just more, I feel like there's a little bit less options when it comes to defense, you know?
I mean, I disagree in ways, right? Mm-hmm. Because the step down after Chicho is fairly large. Whereas like the step down in the center back, right? Glad Vera, your probable starters. Silva's still pretty good, right?
Yeah.
He would still be like a decent backup, right? Whereas you just don't know what you're getting with Julio or Paul, right? It's a bigger step down, in my opinion, from a Chicho. Right. In the past, yeah, when it was, you know, just Dami at the nine where he doesn't even play, right? That step down just seems more even and just like less impressive in that aspect. But yeah, I think now having a DP striker, the backup there concerns me because you don't want to lose Chicho production if there's an injury or a national duty or something.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a long rant. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. It makes sense though. It does make sense because like even when Demir would sub on, I feel like the fan base and us included, we would still be confident that we could get something out of Demir.
He could nick a goal. You just don't know what you're getting out of the other guys.
Yeah. And Julio's had his hamstring issues. We just talked about it. Elijah Paul, his sample size last season, I don't think was large enough for me to kind of assess.
But you're not even expecting like Rubin numbers out of him, right?
Yeah.
And the Rubin numbers, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
He could blow us away. He could pull off like a weird Devin Sandoval year. But like, he's just so unproven. We don't know if he's going to go on to be the next Bobby Wood or if he's going to go on to be the next Devin Sandoval or Pablo Campos or whoever. Also, side note, Hangry Hippo. This is totally off the rails. But he DM'd me and let me know that Sergio Cordova has already been loaned out of Turkey.
Yes.
And is now playing in Russia.
Yes.
Unbelievable, my guy.
I think that's his, fourth team in 2 years?
Fourth or fifth, yeah. I mean, he's moving.
I think I don't know if I want to say like, I don't know if attitude is the right word, but he had
a poor attitude. Yeah. Let's be real. Yeah. The last practice last year before the playoff game, the away game, it was right around there. One of my good buddies brought his boys to the practice, right? Mm-hmm. They're little, they're pumped to see the players. They're ecstatic. They have a ball they would love signed, right? They stood at the top of the stairs at the Zebra as they were leaving. Every single player stopped and signed that ball and said hi to those kids, right? There was no one else there except Cordova. Ruiz actually went and grabbed Cordova, made him come back and sign it because he was like, what are you doing?
Oh, really?
This little kid, yeah. So was it a playoff? It was either a playoff game or the last home game. But either way, it was like one of the last practices out of the Zebra that Cordova was here for. But yeah, the only guy that didn't want to stop and like sign a little kid's ball.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So obviously there's attitude issues there. There's something there, right?
Yeah.
So
the talent, I think talent could be there. I think if he had a better attitude.
Yep.
And
it's a guy that's just getting in his own way.
Yeah, for sure. So,
sorry, that was a weird tangent, but I just thought of it and had to bring it up.
I think bottom consensus, though, between us, is that we like what we saw on Saturday. Yeah,
absolutely. It wasn't an alarming loss to a USL 1 team in Casa Grande, right?
Northern Colorado. I hate that we couldn't see the second game, but from what it sounds like is a lot of the younger guys that will most likely be playing Monarchs played most of the game. A name that keeps getting thrown out there by coaching staff and by some of the players. I don't remember his last name. First name, Aiden. And a lot of almost everybody has been super impressed with the young guy, Aiden.
And apparently he's getting 4.0, so congrats, dude. No, like really. That was like the big thing Trey was talking about it. Is that like they gave him and another kid got 4.0s in the team. Like first team and everyone gave him a jersey with like 4.0 on the back.
Oh, really?
Like celebrated him. And then I can't remember who's out hurt, but someone had to drop out of Portugal and they brought him in his place. So last minute, very cool.
Interesting.
Yep.
And apparently he's impressing.
Hey, dude, this is how you get in sometimes, you know?
Exactly.
You go in there, make some noise. They have to, they'll probably sign with the Monarchs, if anything, and see what he's got. I love it.
I think second game, Aiden impressed. Obviously, everybody always talks about Xavier Gold, so he impressed. Oh,
he needs minutes this year, and he needs minutes badly.
And like we said last time, they're there for the taking.
Yep. I think you can beat out Michael Cheng now.
Yeah. Right? I think he can easily jump over Chang. I think if they want to play him more at the striker position, he can easily jump Elijah Paul again, just due to what we've seen. Yeah. He's a guy that this whole organization is just super, super stoked about. And I'm stoked about him too.
Yeah. The scrimmage and then the preseason game. And then even what we saw out of him last year, the kid is good. He needs minutes.
ASAP. Another player that made there that had some time on the field was Pablo Ruiz.
He played a couple of minutes. See him back?
Honestly, I thought he wasn't going to be like due to the injury. I didn't think he was going to be ready until like maybe April. But the fact that he's already on the field and playing and getting minutes getting incorporated back, that makes me so happy.
Yes, sir.
Makes me so happy.
It's wild to think how long he's been here.
Been
here a minute. And B, man, when he was playing, when he was forced to play left back, like no one would have cared if he got traded, right? And I'm sure on this show we were like, we can let him go. And now look at him, right? Like,
oh, absolutely,
a solid, important piece of the midfield of the team, really.
And I had the opportunity to talk to Chicho today. That video is over on YouTube.
Go check it out.
I asked him about Ruiz and just kind of what he means to what he means to Chicho, and Chicho had nothing but praise, and he said, look, you guys saw it on the field last season how much the team changes with him not on the field. And he said the same thing. He's a warrior, he's a trooper, and he's super, super excited to be back on the field with Pablo Ruiz.
And that's high praise from Chicho, right? Like, you want Chicho going, we missed him.
Yep.
You want Chicho going, I'm excited to play with him again. So that's high praise.
Pablo Ruiz made it back onto the field. Chicho made it back on the field. He got a couple of minutes in that run against Frederick's stint Steiner, whatever they're called.
Yeah, say that.
And then we also got a debut from Alex Katranis, who also played a couple of minutes. And again, sucks that we couldn't see any of that.
Yep. I wish we could say he played well, right? But I don't know. So, and, you know, three in the back makes a lot of sense with Katranis' kind of profile as well. Because he's, I mean, he can do okay bombing forward and like putting a ball in, but I feel like he's more of a defender, as weird as that says talking about defenders. But
yes, no, yes. And
he's not
and,
a wing back, he's a back.
And that's also what he said today. He talked about how he doesn't like to get beat. He wants to right. win his defensive duels. He kind of made himself sound like a little bit of an enforcer, of a tank almost in the back.
Which we need, right? We need a we absolutely have a Vera, but we've always had a defender do it and a midfielder do it, so we always had two. Mm-hmm. So we might have three or four this year, which is excellent.
And I asked him a little bit about what he wants to work on, and he talked about how he wants to improve going forward, joining the attack, and so it does sound like. It does sound like he's going to come in and be a really good addition to this team.
Yes, I have no doubt. Right,
he's already got a good shoulder, good head on his shoulders. He's already talking about how he wants to go out and make these tackles and be an enforcer. And he one of the things that I like that he said is that he doesn't like to lose. He wants to go out there and he wants to win, and he's going to do everything he can to make sure that the team walks out with the win. And I like that.
And, like, obviously that should be, like, assumed, I guess.
Yeah.
But not everyone has that mentality. It's a little more than just saying it, right? Mm-hmm. He's probably a guy that if he gets beat or concedes a goal or loses, it's probably going to affect him for a few days.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because I asked him too, like, what's, like, a word to describe his characteristics, and he just said fire. He's going to bring a fire. He's going to bring a fire to the team. And I also like that answer.
Listen, I'm ready to see this, Alex Katranis. So don't let us down. We need to. I would like to talk to him on the show. We should.
We should hit him up. Nudge.
When they get back to the U.S., of course.
Yeah. So we got a couple of debuts in that second one. RSL wins it 1-0 thanks to an Anderson Julio penalty. And that's pretty much kind of the updates of preseason so far.
Yeah, that's it's been fun, right? I think there's one more game in Portugal.
Yes.
Then they'll come home. They'll be in LA area, play Toronto and Columbus, and then some split squad type things. And then they'll be back in Salt Lake. So the season is upon us. We're, what, a week and a half away, 2 weeks from it starting?
2 weeks from Miami.
That's unbelievable. That hurt my brain. All right.
And then just talking a little bit about like what is still left to come this preseason too, is some more signings. Kurt Schmidt today also said that the number 10 is very close. And so they hope to have that announcement here within the next couple of weeks.
You don't think it's a Hamez, do you? Cause I don't
believe it's Hamez.
That's not, don't get me wrong. I feel like I've said that a lot this episode, but, as cool as that signing would be, that guy is like Luis Suarez level hurt every year. I don't think it would be smart.
I don't think so either. Just mostly
when he's healthy, it'd be sick, but you know,
mostly because like, if you bring James Rodriguez in, you're looking at DP level money.
Yeah. Big money.
I don't think his injury history alone makes him
worth it. I don't think it affords it. Yeah, really don't.
Makes him worth that.
If like Hugo Lloris can come as just a normal player at 350, I'd take Hamez. But I feel like us paying him whatever his wage is right now would just kind of be silly. I hate saying that because I want to see it happen, but you know, being a realistic RSL fan, it would be shocking if that came through.
Plus, he's 32, and it doesn't fit anything of what Pablo has said over the course of the last few weeks. It doesn't fit what Kurt Schmidt said today about the type of player that they're looking for. They're harping in on Young. They're harping in on just a guy who can really, really come in and contribute. And I don't think, while I don't disagree that Hamas can't come in and contribute, I don't think that he would be healthy enough to be consistent.
Right. Not the, yeah, it's just not what we need.
I got league sources.
Who say league sources?
League sources.
Oh.
People who are familiar with the situation, and they say that it's all air.
Yeah, I figured.
There's nothing going on there. And we'll let that rest there.
What else have your league sources said, Alex?
That's it. That's all I've heard.
Oh, man. Yeah, didn't get anything else about another guy that maybe also lives in Europe currently that can play 10? We'll leave that at. We'll leave that at that.
I haven't heard anything about that.
There was another rumor I saw on Transfer Market about Yuki Kobayashi coming to RSL.
Is that the center back?
Yeah, for Celtic.
Interesting.
I think it's bullshizzle, but you know, a rumor as much, right?
Rumors are rumors, and I think rumors
are fun.
There will make silly season fun. Without rumors, there would be no fun in silly season.
Oh well, but that's actually a signing I wouldn't hate. He's a decent center back, so
I don't know if RSL is going for center backs anymore now that Katranis is in, though.
I know, but I really am trying to will it into existence because I don't trust our center backs. Let's come back to this conversation in June and see how we're feeling.
Got it.
I'll book. I have a feeling we're going to go, I wish we would have signed Yuki Kobayashi from Celtic. We could really use a center back right now.
Any other? Yeah. I don't think any other rumors have come out besides those two, right?
No. But do expect a 10 soon.
They did release Hamas out of his contract today.
Wow. So, I mean, at least there wouldn't be a transfer fee.
Sao Paulo released him earlier this morning per sources, Colombian sources, reporters in Colombia. And so now he is at a contract.
I mean, that makes it a little more likely, but I don't expect it to happen.
I still don't expect it either, just because of what I've been told. And again, what we were saying earlier with it's not worth DP money to bring Thomas Rodriguez in.
But maybe he's like, you know, I'm kind of towards the end of my career. I'll settle for 300K.
Hopefully.
Just, yeah, you won't.
I'll take him that way. But
also, like, with his history at clubs, like injuries, you know, not even talking about injuries, but he seems to have a terrible attitude. He's never really stuck around anywhere, like, since that World Cup he had. So, I mean, is he really worth it?
Well, that's why Sao Paulo released him this morning.
Right.
Because it wasn't injuries this time. It was the attitude. He was unhappy there. He made it very clear. This is according to the head coach of Sao Paulo. He would say he's injured, not train for 2 to 4 days or 3 to 4 days, and then expect to have a spot on the team.
Right. Does it sound like someone that just left?
It sounds like someone I don't necessarily know if RSL want to bring in.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We need a team guy.
Exactly.
So 2 weeks. The more you're talking about it, the more I want out. So don't run.
2 weeks left of preseason before RSL heads out to Miami. Keep an eye on like what's going on around the league, because there's been a lot of interesting moves everywhere. Today, Kellen Acosta joined Chicago, which I thought was crazy.
I'm glad he didn't go back to Colorado.
Good for Chicago.
They need to get stronger.
What Bogert was saying was that there was conversations with Kellen by Colorado before he picked Chicago, but they couldn't meet on a wage, and so that's why they decided to go get that guy from France instead of Kellen Acosta.
Good. Happy about it.
Chicago's looking good. They just signed a striker on paper. They just signed a striker. They're bringing in Kellen Acosta, who I think is one of the better midfielders in this league. I'm happy for Chicago. They're finally
I'm happy for him too, but like they also brought back Frank Kropos. So I mean, they brought in Shaqiri, right? Nothing really changed for him. It's like Chicago's kind of one of those. We'll see if they ever really dig themselves out of this weird hole they put themselves in.
Yeah, keep an eye on what's going on around the league. There's going to be more transfers. There's going to be more signings going around. So that way we can get ready for the 2024 season.
Yes, sir.
For some teams that started tonight, as in Vancouver, playing against Tigres in the championship. Is it Cup now? CONCACAF Champions Cup?
Sure. one of those competitions that we can't really keep up with unless, you know, we're involved. So
CONCACAF Champions Cup back in full swing. Monterrey won yesterday. Club America loss, which was kind of surprising. And so, yeah, keep an eye on too on these international competitions as they get full swing. MLS is back, bro. And I'm excited.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm actually I'm going to try to tune in tonight. I want to see Demir. As painful as it's going to be. I'm going to see him playing. So.
Anything else you want to cover, man? I think that's really.
I think that's really it. To really get some, you know, some info coming in. So
hopefully,
nice short sweet episode.
Yeah, hopefully they are able to stream. We can find a stream for Friday's friendly. If we do, obviously we'll share it so that way everybody can tune in and take a look and see RSL. But besides that, I think that'll do it.
Absolutely. Everyone have a good week. Good weekend, and we'll chat next week.
We'll be back next week with Andy. So yeah, make sure to stick with us and make sure to follow us on Instagram. Go follow us on X, Twitter. Go subscribe to our YouTube. We're trying to post more stuff on our YouTube as far as availability, as far as content goes, so that way you guys can keep up with the latest and the greatest RSL news. Thanks for listening to the RSL Show here on the KSL Sports Network. La 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 la.